Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, our Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free.
Well, there's a better way. You know what I'm saying? I just want to talk to you. Just listen to me right now.
Break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Been down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what to do until you put on the pressure. Across 110th Street, a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that.
Give me some. Number to call is 347-945-7405. And number again is 347-945-7405. On yesterday's show, when we were talking to Tony Dream, I played a clip for him. And it is a PSA of Nas, the rapper Nas, that is. And he's talking about the state of hip hop. I'm going to play that clip for you guys out there who did not hear yesterday's clip or yesterday's show. And we're going to talk briefly about what the meaning of that whole PSA means and why it's so important to pay attention to what he's really saying. And you know, I know that you will get probably a different meaning than I have, than Tony Dream have, than anybody who has listened to the clip has. But it's okay, because it's one of those things that definitely has room for discussion. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the bird phenomenon. All the birds that's going haywire, falling out the sky. It's raining birds, dead birds. And you know what? People are not really paying it attention. Something that we really need to pay attention to. But first, here's the PSA of the rapper Nas on the state of hip-hop.
There's a period of great distress in the rap universe. There was a time when hip-hop was a form of empowerment. Now the corporate world is quickly diluting our culture for nothing more than profit. With the ever-melting forces of ridiculous dances, ignorant behavior, and general buffoonery, it's only a matter of time before hip-hop's permanent annihilation. This is what the future holds if it don't stop.
Howdy there, Shook. Top of the morning to you, Jam. Boy, you know this show is a good ditty right here. Massa gonna love us.
Mmm.
You know I was hungry. What should we eat? Some of that good old watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely it's good.
Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely it's good.
Yum, yum.
Yeah.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
Melon. Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely it's good.
Eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon, eat that watermelon.
Surely it's good.
Hey there, Short.
Yeah, Jack.
I think it's time to break it on down.
This watermelon ain't gonna eat itself.
Ham bone, ham bone, ham bone, where you at? Ham bone, ham bone, ham bone, where you at?
Massa, it's coming. Massa, it's coming. Massa, it's coming.
Shh, hide the watermelon.
Try to quit.
Yo, check it, y'all. This is Nas. And if that don't stop, hip-hop is dead.
Wow. Hide the watermelon. You know, every time I hear that, it just brings me to the realization that we have a long, long way to go, not only in our communities, but in the music industry. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a hip-hop head to my heart, have always been, and will always be. But I do believe there is a certain responsibility that some hip-hop artists, well, that all hip-hop artists, have to uphold. They have to know that these young kids that buy their music, these old kids, as I shall say, that buy their music. Some of these people, if not all of them, idolize their favorite entertainer. Now, I'm not saying that everything that happens negative in the community is because of rap music. I would be senile to say something like that. But there is a lot of influence on our young children from the music that they listen to. Music is universal, guys. Music can put your mood in 50 different acetones in a couple of minutes. You get up, I'll tell you what, you get up one morning and some people do this already, but you get up one morning and you turn your radio on or put your favorite CD in and play one of your favorite songs. And I can promise you that if not half the day, well, if not all of the day, or half of the day, you will be put in the mindset of the tone of the song that you listen to. It controls our moods. It controls our actions. It controls our feelings. It controls everything about us. Now, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that hip-hop has ruined the community, because the community was built on the hip-hop era. And if you notice, I use hip-hop, not rap. There is a difference. But what's coming on the airwaves right now, guys, we got to find another way to reach our young people. What we think, or the way we think we need to reach our young people, is through calling females the B word, talking about guns, talking about gangbanging, talking about selling drugs. That's not the way, y'all. And I know you might be saying, well, you know, you haven't lived the life I live. I respect that. I respect any man that or woman that has lived a very, very hard life and that is expressing that through their music. But what I don't understand is that individual that has lived that hard life and want to express it through their music thinks the way is to glorify shooting someone or glorify selling drugs, knowing that you have young children that's going to buy your CDs, and what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to go out and do the same things, especially an aspiring young hip-hop artist. That's wrong. What do we do to stop some of the ideology that's going on in the hip-hop world? You know, it's even getting as bad as to say that it's in the R&B genre also. Again, I love my artists, but not to the point where I'm going to let my child listen to a bunch of negative mess that's going to lead them astray, opposite of what I'm trying to do with them, just so I can be down with hip-hop, whatever. I listen to country. You know, and I know I have a lot of hip-hop artists that listen to the show, a lot of unknown artists and a lot of known artists. And don't take it personal. It's just my views on what I think needs to happen. And, you know, the most sad part about this is some of the artists that put out the negative vibes, the negative lyrics, you know, and I'm not saying, once again, if that's your life story, that's your life story. But don't glorify it to young children, because you know they're going to follow your footsteps. Half of those guys that put out that material are geniuses. That's the surprising part about this. They're geniuses. They can create at the drop of a hat. Amazing. Number to call is 347-945-7405. We have to do something about this. We have to understand, you know, and I'm talking to the artists and parents. You know, the artists put out the music, but parents, some of you are unbelievable. Some of you will take your child to a store, a music store, and we'll see the parental advisory label, and we'll buy the CD for your child, your 9 or 10-year-old child. And you will never listen to that CD, but your child will be in there listening to that CD. And then when you see your 9 or 10-year-old grow up to be 11, 12, and they're standing on the corner, maybe they might do it at 9 or 10, stand on the corner and selling drugs and running prostitutes and everything under the sun, then you wonder what happened. Then you immediately say, oh, it's the music he's listening to. Well, guess what? Newsflash, you bought him that music, so you contributed to his or her failure. And that's what's happening across America, y'all. That's what's happening, and it's continuing to happen, and it's not going to change until we change our ideology of what the future should be for our children. When we come back, the phone lines will be open. I want to take some calls. I'm going to read some of the things that's put in the chat rooms. I got two chat rooms going. They're getting busy in one. The other one's kind of silent right now, but it's okay because I'm going to read out of either one. And I want to know what you guys feel about what's going on and what we need to do to make this whole thing come together in a different tone. 347-945-7405. You are definitely live in the Day with Jay.
mother of one of my kids.
Oh. Cancun. Spring Break 99.
What?
No?
No.
Oh.
Oops! Someone forgot to boost.
Excuse me. I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, my daughter's in your art class. Sister Mary Catherine.
Yes.
Minute Maid Enhanced with a 5-nutrient boost. Put good in, get good out.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Greenlight Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. We're talking a little bit about the state of hip-hop and the effects that the music have on our youth in the community. Now, I did play a clip a little bit ago about the state of hip-hop from the rapper Nas, and it definitely has a lot to get across when it comes to the state of hip hop, and I really, really want to know what some of you are thinking, and I'm gonna read a little bit out of the chat room, out of my second chat room. I got Shownuff. Shownuff. What a name. It's all good, though. I got Shownuff writing, why should we always think that rap music is the cause of problems in our community? Why can't the parents take the responsibility and raise their children like they should? And, you know, you're right. You're right. Hip-hop should not take the bulk of what's going on in our communities, and our parents do need to play a major role more than ever right now in raising our children, because our children, the first teachers are the mother and father in the home, and if they fail, then they leave their children subject to being taught to anything or from anybody in the streets. And unfortunately, you know, it might be their favorite rap group, which might be of a negative tone. But those are the things that happen when we don't take care of what we should as parents. So I agree with you. But I'm not going to say that it's all the parents' fault. Yes, first and foremost, you need to be a parent and take care of your children. You need to monitor what your children are doing at all times. I mean, that's just the best way I can put it. But on the same token, as a artist, I would think as an artist, I want to put some responsible product out there. See, if you start putting product out that you know is poison to the community, then you're exactly what this PSA is speaking about. You're a slave for the industry. You don't stand for anything. You know, I had a very enlightening conversation today with someone about this same topic, and their argument was that these guys change. You know, they can change, which I agree they can. But if you give me an entertainer or artist, so to speak, that makes a song about killing and robbing and and selling drugs and having prostitutes and calling women the B word. If you give me an artist that makes this music, this song, and this might be about their life, which is cool, but they're glorifying it. And then on this next track, you got them singing things about unifying, being peaceful, becoming one, helping our community. I think that's a hypocrite. I think that's a hypocrite. And if you don't watch it, the poison that you first put out there with the first track will linger on. No matter how much good you do after that, the poison's already there. And some of these artists are knowingly putting the poison in the middle of the communities, but then coming back and trying to change that with nice words, nice lyrics, uplifting feelings or feelings of upliftment. But by then, the poison's already in the community. Not saying you can't change. It's a good thing you change. But the poison is still in the community. Our children have grasped on to what you were speaking about and have started to act out these things on each other. That's what happens. That's what's continuing to happen. And until we decide that we're going to be better parents, better role models, better teachers, better protectors, it's going to continue to be like this. So then the gentleman I was speaking with, he stated that, you know, it might be, you know, party music. That's the type of party music that's hitting right now. And I understood that, and I accepted that. But that's party music to the black community only. Let me break this down for you guys. The black community is the only community I know that can have a party or a gathering, and the music can consist of calling people the B-word, selling drugs, having lots and lots of money to floss, shooting at each other. And that's party music. That's music for the moment in the black community. Let me show you where we're really different. Now, in the Latino community, their music's always festive. It's always circled around happy times. And to go even further, in the white community, their music's country. Yes, country has a lot of sad music, but country also celebrates life. I have not been to any white parties where they're all talking about killing each other. I haven't been to any Latino parties where they're all talking about selling dope in their community. But I've been to a gang of black parties and DJed a lot of them where they want that type of material played. So see, it's not just the artists or even just the parents. It's the whole social makeup of everyone in those communities. So we have to do something about it, y'all. Number to call is 347-945-7405. I see a lot of people don't agree with some of the things I'm saying. And I see Lady Love Song. She writes that black people, you know, my age, 50s, don't play gangster rap and et cetera. And you're right. You're right. You're right. But it's not your era that's going to be left with the mess to pick up. That's why I say we have to grab our young people right now, because if we don't instill those great qualities in them, then we're leaving them to deal with this mess on their own. And if we don't give them the tools, if we don't give them the tools, Lady Love Song, then I can promise you we're going to continue to see this crime, this climb. Like, just like you stated that you're 50 and you don't listen to that, you know, that gangster rap and all this and that, well, pretty soon we're going to fade on out. And the ones that's listening to that music now, they're going to be 50 pretty soon. Guess what? They're going to be listening to it. So we have to really, really understand what music does to us. And I see where Lady Love Song also wrote that she has a 31-year-old son who also doesn't listen to much of it. That's great. Now, if we can only get a whole lot of your 31-year-old sons and have them talk to these younger people without being afraid. We can't be afraid. We can't be afraid of our young people any longer. That's the problem. We see them with their pants sagging and their locks in their hair, and we're afraid of the cosmetic part of our children. Unbelievable. We have to stop being so afraid of just the cosmetic side of our young people, and we have to go talk to them. You know, I have approached many young people who, and I've seen them toting guns in their back pocket, and I still approach them and talk to them. And after, you know, after I have left those young men and women, the first thing they say to me is, you know, no one's ever took the time out to talk to me. That's all they want is someone to talk to. So we have to break that cycle of feeling like everyone's blaming us or looking at us in a different manner because we're black. Because you know what? We do it to each other. We ain't got to get it from anyone else. We do it to each other. We look at each other and we judge each other by our appearance. And it determines whether we want to help one another. Which 9 times out of 10, we're starting to not help each other again. Well, we never stopped not helping each other. Something's got to change. Something has definitely got to change. Number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. I promise you, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about these fallen birds out the sky. You're listening live to The Day with Jay.
My hands so full of sun. We were the two turned into one. How do I live this life with you gone away? Yeah. Now too many nights have passed me by, and too many mornings filled my life, still wet with the tears that I cry for you. Oh, come back, baby. I was strong, a man afraid of nothing. I had the world inside my hands, that's what I told myself. But now I see that I was wrong. The truth is I have nothing if I don't have you. Now too many nights have passed me by, and too many mornings filled my life, still wet with the tears that I cry for you. Oh, come back, baby. Yeah, yeah.
Come back to me.
Come back to me.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. If you're used to customer service and tech support from the other side of the world, you may be surprised the next time you place one of those calls. The person who answers might be in the United States. The recession has shifted the scales. Companies are hiring people to answer calls here at home. As a matter of fact, they're hiring those people in their homes, as NPR's Carolyn Beeler reports.
Maureen Quigley Hogan is the next generation of call center workers.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Maureen. May I have your name, please?
Quigley Hogan is at the makeshift desk in her home office in Virginia. She's wearing pink slippers, and she's taking a call from a woman in New Jersey who has a question about her credit card bill.
For verification purposes, may I have the last four digits of your Social Security number, please?
Quigley Hogan was unemployed for 10 years because she says she couldn't hold down a traditional job. She has rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia, a disease that causes severe fatigue.
It was hard to get to a job. The idea of going through a regular schedule of getting up and getting ready for work, I would be exhausted.
She'd worked in customer service for more than 20 years, so 2 years ago, she was thrilled to land this job where she can work from home. And increasingly, companies that want to outsource their customer service jobs are happy with the arrangement too. 10 years ago, it made a lot of sense to outsource these jobs to the Philippines or India, but that's changing. High inflation and double-digit annual raises in some sectors are pushing up the cost of labor in India. At the same time, wages in the United States are falling, and companies are rethinking the trade-offs associated with outsourcing. Richard Crespin is the director of the Human Resources Outsourcing Association.
When a company is deciding where to put something, they have to weigh in the cost of doing that, as well as the inconvenience of having something distant from you and not close to you in proximity, what I would call like the pain in the neck factor. So when wages drop in your home economy, you're less likely to move something over as the balance between pain in the neck and labor arbitrage comes more into alignment.
Experts say outsourcing is still accelerating for jobs in IT services and manufacturing. But even before the recession started, companies were starting to realize that offshoring wasn't the best option for other services, like handling calls about credit card balances or broken cell phones. That's according to Phil First, an outsourcing analyst.
People have found that losing the customer service capability to having local staff who can understand products and services well and can deal in context-based situations, it hasn't fared that well in offshore locations like India.
Today, First says in some cases, workers in India are making only about 15% less than workers in, say, Nebraska. He says that's about the point where companies start thinking it's worth it to hire an American worker instead of a foreign one. And one of the cheapest models and biggest trends right now, home workers, like Maureen Quigley-Hogan. There are an estimated 60,000 people like her doing call center work from home.
It provides a lower cost point than other traditional means of onshore customer service.
That's Chris Carrington. He runs Alpine Access, the Denver-based company that Quigley-Hogan works for. He says the low overhead of having home-based workers allows him to charge 20% less for the same services that brick-and-mortar call centers in the U.S. provide.
We don't have big buildings and we don't have all of that infrastructure cost, and so we're able to pay our people more as well as lower the price for our customers that we serve.
Even with these cost-cutting measures, American workers are still the more expensive option. But industry watchers say so-called home sourcing will continue to grow as companies look for quality that used to be harder to afford. Carolyn Beeler, NPR News, Washington.
Just got word that we had some little technical difficulties with the incoming of calls. I was seeing them but couldn't get you on. But now I see them, so if you want to call, you definitely can. Number to call is 347-945-7405. We talked a little bit, well, a lot, about the state of hip-hop and what the impact it has on the young communities across the nation. Switch it up just a second while we still got time and talk a little bit about these birds that and fish that have come up dead across the nation. You know, a couple of days ago, there was close to 5,000 birds that have fallen out the sky in Arizona. And now in Louisiana, there's a few hundred more birds that have just fallen out the sky. Do you guys think we're looking at revelations being played out? Do you think that we can be past the seventh seal, the opening of the seventh seal, where we are looking at the second trumpet being sounded? And I'll read a little bit of, you know, this is from Revelations 8:8-9. And it says the second trumpet. It says the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Do you think we're seeing this? What else can explain the birds falling out the sky? The fish turning up dead? There's been no explanation. Now, there's been some theories. There's been some people speculating what's going on. But nothing concrete. And it's like it's being swept under the rug. And you know why? Because there's a fear that this might be spiritual. And I'm going to tell you, a problem that has happened in America is that we as Americans, well, other Americans, not me, has forsaken or has forgotten about God. We have gotten so used to being secured in our modern lives to where we don't acknowledge God. Only when we need him. Only when somebody's been hit over the head by the cops in the black community. Only when there's been an abduction of a little white boy, a little white girl. Only when there has been a bunch of illegal aliens coming in from across the border. That's when we call on God. But when it comes to raising our children, we forget about God. When it comes to morals and moral character out in the community, we forget about God. So it doesn't surprise me that this is being swept under the rug in the manner that it has been. And the sad part about it, people are not asking questions. People are talking about it amongst the coolers at workplaces across the nation, on blogs, on radio shows like this, but no one's asking questions. And trust me, when I tell you this, I definitely tried to get a biochemist to call in on the show today to kind of explain, because I've heard so many different reasons this has happened. From sound making the birds run into each other, disorienting the birds, and they run into each other and kill each other, which is utterly ridiculous, to weather, which I don't buy, to other silly nonsense. But no one has named religious beliefs in the whole entire scenario of this, you know, what I call a tragic thing. What do you think? Do you think that this is something that is spiritual, or do you think it's some freak coincidence? I'm not going to stop on this subject, y'all. I think I'm going to try even more, even harder, that is, to get someone on here who has the technological know-how to explain some of the crazy explanations that have been thrown before us right now. Lady Love Song in the chat room says maybe it's environmental causes. Those are one of the things. That's why I'm going to get someone on the show this week that can shed some light on that. If it is, it is. But I want to know what environmental causes can cause 5,000 birds to fall out of the sky and not one single human become affected. Over 5,000, that is. That could very well be a cause. But me personally, I think it's spiritual. I think it's spiritual, and I think it's gonna come out or manifest even more than what we're seeing. We've seen nothing yet. For all my spiritual people, we have seen nothing yet. So we need to get it right. We need to get it right, or it's going to be too late. I pause because as I'm speaking, they're actually talking about it on the news and where I'm at, and they're actually giving even more bogus explanations to what has happened. And you know, we probably will never know until time of judgment arrives. Then you'll know what's going on. But until then, we need to ask more questions. We need to find out what's going on. We need to strive to know what is affecting our environment, if that's the case. We need to know. I don't want nothing to happen to me or my children or your children or you if it can be stopped. We need to attempt to find solutions. I'd like to take the time right now to thank everyone who tuned into today's show. You definitely want to tune into tomorrow's show. We should be joined by the North Carolina Ghost Hunters. Always a fun show. And I'm actually going to try my best to get someone on the show tomorrow who can answer the bird phenomenon. And I'm hoping that we can come to some concrete answers. So you definitely want to tune into tomorrow's show. So as I tell you each and every day, assalamu alaikum, meaning peace be unto you. You have been live in the day with Jay.
You ready?
Peace. See you tomorrow.
Let's go. Yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, like this, y'all. Come on.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. Mike.
He doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know. But no, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise. Making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talk's picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much. Never concerned with status, but still leaving him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, now the picture connects. Never asking for someone's help or to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote. His will is beyond reach. And now it all unfolds through the skill of an artist.
This is 20% skill. 80% fear, be 100% clear, cause Ryu was ill. Who would've thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man, Ryu had the stupidest verse. The dude is the truth, now everybody giving them guest spots. Stop, please, I heard he's with that guy.